Hey everybody, I'm Aline Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast, very special podcast. We are walking through a series that God laid on my heart to produce because I speak to many women who have walked through the storm of adultery and the wounds that it causes. And so I wanted to share stories from three women that I knew, three wonderful women that walk with the Lord, but have also walked through this experience. And why I wanted to do this is, one, because I wanted women to know that they are not alone, that what has happened to them doesn't mean that they are by themselves, that they're not, that there are other women that have walked through this journey, and that by sharing stories that you can find common themes in your own story and just listen to these women. So that's the first thing, that you're not alone, and to learn from the story. And the second thing is so that you can know that our God is a redeemer, and that in each of these situations that God redeemed what happened, and all the redemption was different. Mm-hmm. There was one marriage that was restored, other marriages where the husband decided that he did not want to be a part of that, and so there was no restoration, and that the redemption that we don't get to decide what that is, but that we can know and stand on with full faith that our God redeems. And it doesn't mean that, you know, that there's no more challenges in life and all these sorts of things. I don't think that'll happen for any of us until we go to heaven. But that if you're in this place, that there is absolutely hope, because our God is a God that restores and He redeems. And so I want to welcome our special guest today to our podcast. I was actually connected with her through the You Belong to the Bridegroom study. She did that. But welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. And my friend has chosen to be anonymous because of wanting to protect her children. Mm-hmm. I'd love to open with that, because one of the things that I want to say is, you know, you are such a loving mother. You're always posting and telling things about your kids, and which you have five of them. Mm-hmm. And so just in wanting to protect them, you know, you've chosen to stay anonymous. So speak mm-hmm. a little bit more to that. And
yes, well, I am a mom of five. I birthed three, and God gave me two beautiful boys through my second marriage that I had the blessing to adopt. But, so, you know, it's tough, because I think as women, we want to hear all the juicy stuff and the, you know, because we relate, and it makes it even all the more real. In my case, because I have these little boys, I know that developmentally they still very much identify with their father, and they should, because that's a healthy part of growth. And I don't want to hurt them in any way. And, you know, it hurts their self-esteem, and I don't want to be a part of that at all. So as much as I would love to put a face to my voice and make it that much more real for you, for the listener, I can assure you it's a very real life, real mm-hmm. story. Mm-hmm. And the pain is just as real as the triumphs, really. But my boys, they just unfortunately, I want them to keep them out of it for now.
Yeah.
And I was joking with Eileen earlier that one day when they're older, it would be fun to write some kind of fun, juicy, you know, book about all the gory details. But, you know, that's just because I think as women, we like to know all the details, and it's mm-hmm. natural. And And maybe that will happen one day. I don't know. But really, yeah. I still don't even want my ex-husband hurt by it. I don't, even though he's, you know, I don't know that he would be, frankly. But I just don't. I don't think that that's even, like, godly of me to bash him, really.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's very beautiful. So, okay. So you're married.
I am.
You're remarried.
I'm remarried to a wonderful man. Mm-hmm. Couldn't be more different than my first husband. And I think maybe I even did that on purpose because I was so scared. And I was telling you earlier that I, you know, after my life, circumstances, kind of, I say the poop hit the fan, you know, mm-hmm. I never thought I would remarry because I just had all these reservations. And God blessed me with a wonderful man who had lost his wife suddenly. She had a brain aneurysm. Mm. And he was left with two little boys. And I never put that into the equation that God would give me that. So that was a blessing in disguise. And like I said, I gained two beautiful boys and my husband. So,
And you were saying that you said, I don't want to marry. And you weren't, that wasn't even on the radar.
It wasn't
on the radar.
Yeah. It's been 6 years now since my ex-husband left. Mm-hmm. And, no, I had no intention. And my boys were little. They were only 4 and 6 at the time. So the idea of remarrying didn't sound appealing because there were only option A and option B. Option A, a man who had never been married before, that didn't sound very good because I assumed he'd probably be selfish. And these are assumptions. They're not, you know, my assumptions. Mm-hmm. That he'd be selfish or not understand what it took to be, you know, a parent and all that. That didn't sound good to me. And then option B, which again, I only thought there were two options, would be a man who had been married, and with that came a lot of baggage. And I, you know, because I believe that there are a lot of divorces out there for the wrong reasons, and I didn't want to be in a position that I would have to teach a new man anything about the Bible. I want him to already have that biblical conviction that he lived with, and I felt like a lot of men. So I didn't date anybody. Mm-hmm. I didn't go on any dating sites. And I know a lot of women do. And I understand why. You want to feel, you know, desirable, mm-hmm. you know, after you go through something really harsh. And sometimes that'll make you feel better. I didn't. I was in survival mode. Mm-hmm. And I had two little boys, and I just was, I had no idea what I was going to do. So I didn't really, I wasn't looking for that. Mm-hmm. And then, let's see. Yeah. So I think I was single for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then a girlfriend of mine had said, she was watching a man's boys at her house because he had lost his wife, and she was helping him out. Mm-hmm. And one thing led to, I ended up meeting him at the gym one day, mm-hmm. and exchanged numbers. And he was not, I didn't think he was interested in me, frankly. I just didn't. And, but I had given him a number to a counselor that my boys had seen. Mm-hmm. I said, this is an amazing Christian counselor. I will tell you his name on the podcast if you ever need somebody. His name is Dr. Searcy.
Bill Searcy.
And he's in Raleigh. He's fantastic. Also a widower, went to like Harvard Medical School, mm-hmm. but spent his whole career in Kenya as a missionary, like amazing, amazing man.
Wow.
Yes. And his wife passed away. Okay. So anyhow, I had given him his number, and my now husband assumed that maybe I had also lost my husband to a death. And, no, mm-hmm. that wasn't the case, but, it, you know, got us talking, and then, so then we were married. Not that long after, frankly, maybe like 6 months later. Yeah, we got married. So,
And so you said, I don't want to marry someone who's been divorced or someone who's never been married.
Right.
And God said, but I've got plan C.
Yes.
That you didn't even think about this man that had been widowed.
No. And I wouldn't want any woman listening to this to go, well, gosh, so I got to find a widower. Like, that's terrible. Yeah. I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying that was my short sightedness of mm-hmm. what what was available. I'm sure there are, God has a special plan for each woman
yeah.
that's gone through stuff. And he, as long as you cleave to him, he will open up the right doors,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You know, there are good men out there for
well,
sure.
Well, and you know, that probably was the way the Lord was leading you.
Yes.
And one of the things in this podcast that I wanted to talk about was the different types
yeah.
of redemption.
Yes.
Because you know, there's another woman that I'm interviewing and she's still single.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't mean, but God has redeemed in other ways. And so God
yeah.
may have led you that way. And
mm-hmm.
I think you kind of got to the gist of it that, you know, when the bottom drops out,
right.
that you have a choice. It's sort of a defining moment.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to walk with God through this or walk away from God?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, why did this happen? And,
mm-hmm.
And so, what was it ever a question to you in your faith? I mean, did you struggle with why did this happen? And you know,
I mean, I had been a Christian since I was 21. I wasn't raised in the church, but I became a born again Christian when I was 21, and I married a Christian man who also lived with Christian convictions. And I felt like, you know, we were doing things right according
mm-hmm.
to God. we didn't live like above our means. We lived, we went to church. My ex-husband, you know, evangelized. There was so
wow.
much.
Yeah.
yeah. And,
mm-hmm.
and really, I can't even take that away from him if I could be honest, because the areas that he evangelized, he did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard someone say once before that, you know, I think people feel like if they've sinned, they can never disciple anybody.
Yeah.
But you certainly can't disciple somebody in that area of sin that you haven't had reconciliation
sure.
in.
Sure.
But if
yeah.
you have other areas,
mm-hmm.
you know, then, and I think, I don't want to, you know, as much as, you know, he's still a stinker in my life. I'm not going to
mm-hmm.
lie about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't take what I feel like is, I think it was sincere in that
mm-hmm.
season of his life. I really
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
But his, you know, we all have a responsibility, and I don't know what led him to the point of, you know, his unfaithfulness, but I take responsibility for my part. And my part was that, and I was just talking to my now husband about this because he gets all upset when he thinks I'm taking like responsibility for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I just think we're all 100.
I was over here getting upset and saying, no, it's not your
fault.
Because
I think that
yeah.
we all have to take 100%
mm-hmm.
responsibility for us, ours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My ex has to take 100% responsibility for his sin,
mm-hmm.
and I have to take 100% responsibility for mine. And mine, you know, you're going to hear this and think, oh, it's not the same. Mine was, I was not supportive of him and his dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And people could hear that and go, that's so shallow. Well, you know, it's what he needed from me as a wife. And
mm-hmm.
I was not, I was like, you know, I just thought it was all ridiculous. He had
mm-hmm.
big dreams
mm-hmm.
and he didn't want to work in the, you know, what he went to school for. He wanted to have his own career. He wanted
mm-hmm.
to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And I was practical. I had a 4 and 6 year old at home. I was like, that's not realistic. And he had heard that kind of language from me for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he found someone that would lift him up. And
mm-hmm.
that is not my fault that he looked elsewhere. But, and I'm not also suggesting that if I had been this perfect wife,
yeah,
perfect words, that it would have not still happened. I
right.
don't know that, but
right.
I'm just saying that I still have to be responsible before the Lord as to what my role is as a wife.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. So
yeah.
yes, it was shocking.
And
when
that's,
I found out
that's
still.
Not shouldering the shame of what
no.
he did.
No.
Because sometimes I think women will do that and they'll
mm-hmm.
say, you know, and the reaction will be, there must be something wrong with me
mm-hmm.
and I need to, you know, lose weight and
mm-hmm.
be this other woman
mm-hmm.
that I'm not because
right.
I'm not. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, so not that, but just taking account
right.
and ownership and
right.
saying it. So
in my situation, my ex had wanted me to help him with his business. I didn't want to. I was working in a, and again, this is, I was living my Christian walk. I happened to be helping a Christian magazine at the time. Mm-hmm. I was loving it. I was loving my little section of life. And mm-hmm. he was struggling. He mm-hmm. was thinking, I need to create this business so I can earn money, so I can support my family. And I was basically saying, that's your job. My job over here is to be a mom. And I get this little fun side job, too, of working mm-hmm. as an editor over here for a Christian magazine. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't want to shoulder that burden that he was carrying. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm older, you know, now I would have. Like, now mm-hmm. as I'm older, I would be like, he needs help. I would have handled it differently. I mean, if my husband today lost his job, I would get a, you know, I would definitely shoulder the burden of our finances. Mm-hmm. But in that season of my life, I felt that was his job and I didn't want to do it. So I found someone else that could help him. And that someone else ended up becoming a very messy relationship. And that was the what I thought was the start. And actually, in hindsight, it wasn't. He had already messed around. I didn't know that at the time. Mm-hmm. But, So, again, I have to take responsibility for my part. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make his actions any less, you know, wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think that, on paper, I was doing everything right. You know, mm-hmm. I was a good mom. Doting mom, and I was working for a Christian women's magazine, helping Christian women through their struggles.
Yeah.
And doing all this. And and meanwhile, my husband was struggling. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like that's his issue. He needs to figure it out because mm-hmm. that's all he's got to do. Mm-hmm. Well, that wasn't responsible for me, mm-hmm. responsible of me. So, And I hate to take away from, you know, look, I could be the type of Christian or woman that could just be like, you know, it's all him. I don't know how it became. Mm-hmm. But I do think that God had, I mean, he certainly showed that in me. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't believe in God, I think that I would have just probably just, it'd been really easy just to make it all his problem. I could find thousands of women that would support me.
Right.
Right. Look at it. I look like I'm doing everything just, and I was doing everything right, sort of.
Right.
But not being the right helpmate I was supposed to be in that marriage.
Yeah.
But that said, he was messing around before that. I didn't know that, though, at mm-hmm. the time. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I was very naive.
Well, I think, too, I think that in a common, you know, thing that I hear from women, I don't think that we want to believe that.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
So we would not want, not because we're naive, but mm-hmm. because, you know, we just, it's kind of like, not, I'm not going to go there because mm-hmm. I don't, you know, I don't want to, this is not happening to me.
Well, I think when you feel like you're doing such good things for the kingdom over here, how mm-hmm. could the Lord allow?
Yeah.
Your marriage to fall apart. What witness is that going to be for God's glory? You know, and believe it or not, was like a big thing. I lived in a neighborhood where they were a lot of lukewarm Christians, sort of on the mm-hmm. fence. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them would come to me for just like biblical little advice, mm-hmm. you know, here and there. And then my husband leaves me. Mm-hmm. And what, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it not only was it just humiliating, but also I thought, well, what are you going to do now, Lord? You know, this looks terrible for you.
Yeah.
Let alone me. This looks terrible for you, this Christian life.
Yeah.
And so.
But I bet probably it even made you more relatable.
Probably.
You know, to women because it wasn't all, you know, cookie cutter. Yeah. And you were still going to church and you were still believing.
Yeah.
Did you ever struggle in your faith during that time, or ever consider leaving your faith or any of that during this?
I struggle in my faith, yes. But I didn't struggle in believing that God was real, no. Mm-hmm. I have struggled many times believing God is real and throughout my life after this. But during it, no. It happened to be in my life and my bubble that I was living in that time when all that I loved came crashing down. he was all I had. And meaning like my parents, I mean, they live in California. Mm-hmm. So my family's in California. I am the only one here with my two boys. So, he was all I had. Mm-hmm. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I, no, I did not believe he was not real. I certainly questioned what kind of God he was and why he would do this. It was baby steps every day. And I felt like, I've heard this said from other women, my closet became like holy ground for me because that's where I cried on the floor every day. I never wanted my kids to see it. So I just laid on that floor, laid my arms out. Like I just cried it out. And so, yes, I was in complete despair. Yes. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to be homeless. I thought everything. And, I never questioned if he was real. And I also knew that there was a big difference between consequences and trials. And I felt like my ex was going to, you know, I would watch him kind of go through now and still even to this day, you know, a series of consequences because he still hasn't turned toward God. And in that case, I saw God sort of walk me through the trial that, you know, the Bible, like James talks about.
Yes.
So to bring me out of it, even closer to him. And that is what happened. And I was never closer with the Lord. Like about a year after, I felt so close to God that I don't even have it now because I'm so busy.
Yes.
And that's not an excuse. It's just what I've chosen, basically. Mm-hmm. But I was so close to him that I felt like nobody could hurt me. It was like the most amazing little season. Yeah. I now had a lot of fears. What's going to happen?
Sure.
But nobody, no. And at one point I had taken this is a side story, but I'd taken
when you mean nobody will hurt you, just that, unpack that just a little bit.
Well, for instance, I took my two boys to go. I was going to put them in a private school because I was homeschooling too at the time. And I was like, I can't do this. I gotta get practical here. So I was going to put them in a Christian school. So I went to this Christian school and I had to be interviewed first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I walk in and she immediately, and I have to tell her that I'm divorced. And she sat me down and she said to me, do you think you're going to heaven one day? And I said, I do. And now I'm at my closest with God, but I'm also humble, most humble in my life too.
Yeah.
And I do think I am. And she's like, because I'm concerned about your divorce. Like, so she was judging me in that moment about my divorce. And she doesn't know me. She doesn't know anything I've gone through. But I was so strong in my, who I knew I, like the child of God I was in that moment. Mm-hmm. I was almost kind of having like a little laugh with God in my head. Like, she has no idea, God. Like,
yeah.
And I don't, let me tell you, I am not the same woman today. I wish I was, frankly. I felt like I was a super Christian. Like, I felt so on fire for the Lord, so close to him, so loved, like so deeply loved by him. That
just
I was
in
like
the heat of the battle, just him like holding you.
Because there was no other explanation for how I was getting through it.
So she was, I'm sorry.
So she was
doubting your salvation because of your divorce.
Because I was walking in as a divorced woman, broken family.
Yeah.
To a Christian school. She says to me, because you know there's a big chasm between heaven and hell. And I'm being basically schooled by her. I just listened and went, Okay, well, thank you. And then I got up and I left and I'm like, oh, I'm never going back there.
Oh, yeah.
But
I
just thought, wow. Okay, I don't ever want to be that Christian where I look at somebody and just sum them up because I think I got it all. I figured them out. That she had no idea what I had been through.
Wow. Yeah.
But, so that's what I mean. Like, nobody could hurt me on that level. Like, I knew who I was in Christ more than ever in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, that doesn't take away from the fear. I had tons of fear about what would happen. Oh my gosh, what is God? How strong does God think I am that I can go through? Is he going to make me homeless? Is he going to take away my children? Yeah. What? You know?
And well, I think in life when we lose something that we never thought that we would lose. Mm-hmm. And you said, you know, my life came crashing down.
Yeah.
And I had a similar experience. It's different. It wasn't adultery, but just sort of the idea of, well, I never saw that coming and I never saw this coming and oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But when it happens, you realize that loss is real. Mm-hmm. Like that there is a potential to lose, you know, the things that we think that we can keep.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden things just become a little bit, you know, scary because you think about, you know, what's going to happen to my kids and my home. Mm-hmm. But God was faithful to you through it all.
Oh, yeah.
What were some of the ways that you saw God's hand, like his touch in that? And you mentioned one, which, you began by saying, you know, to cling to God and then to have him there when that woman, God bless her soul, was judging you for, and unfortunately, I'm hearing this a lot too, that there are churches that are not responding appropriately, but thankfully also to many stories of beautiful stories in the church, how the body of Christ is coming. Mm-hmm. But so the presence of God, that was his touch from you. How else tangibly did he show himself to you during this time when it was you were walking with him?
So right after I discovered the day after Thanksgiving about all the infidelity. That's when I discovered it all. I got right into school that January. And then I went right into NC State. Now I had most of my bachelor's finished from my time in California, but there was no urgency to finish my degree because I was content and I was a mama and I didn't, what do I need it for? And it was more just kind of a luxury. I'll just...
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And so, but now I was thinking, I am not hireable. I need to finish my degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I called it's like everything that I, felt led to do. So that was the one thing and is enrolling in school. It just happened. And I don't know how that happened because everything just happened. So I applied, for financial aid. I ended up getting all these, grants and scholarships because I'm now a single mom. So that is like something wonderful for single moms if they need to go back to school. Mm-hmm. I got right into the program like immediately and I did it all online. So I was able to do that. It just happened and it was a wonderful thing for my brain to chew on because so much stress was happening around me that I had something to hyper focus on and that was school. So I was able to do that. And meanwhile, you know, things are crashing down around me and even my home that, you know, my husband and I had purchased together from California now in North Carolina, he wanted it to go into foreclosure because he just was a stinker. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why he would want that, but he did. So, he was succeeding at that. And, I just, you have to understand my mother in California was, secretly hoping I was going to come back to California. So I came from a family that they had the finances to help me, but my mom didn't really want to help me because she wanted her grandchildren and her only child to move home. Mm-hmm. So, and I also came from a background where you don't ever ask for any money.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. Mm-hmm. Ever. 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 Mm-hmm. So that was not even an option. And it wasn't ever even offered. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because they weren't happy with me. It just wasn't even like, oh, this is your bed, lay in it. It wasn't like that. It just wasn't on the table. I can't explain it other than I believe that's the way God wanted it for me.
Yeah.
So that I would rely completely on God for everything.
Yeah.
So I did. And so for the next year, as I watched my home, I had people coming to take pictures of my home. Mm-hmm. They were going to basically, it was going to be bank owned. It was so humiliating, all of it. But I remember the day that, again, nothing from my parents, just lots of loving support and words and all that. And they're going to sound like, they sound like they're awful, but they weren't. It just was my culture I grew up in. So the day came when I realized I had tried everything to save my home. There was nothing else. I mean, I even looked into some kind of like, where you have reverse mortgage. I mean, anything to keep, because I wanted my children to have their home. If they already lost their father, I wanted something to, and it wasn't in God's plan. So I remember calling my mom and saying, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to be able to save my home. And she said, what other options are there? And you have to understand, my parents have five homes. Okay.
Okay.
My parents, that's where I'm coming from. But, and I still didn't come from a place like, you could help me. It just wasn't ever how I was raised.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know. And I said, she goes, have you ever considered HUD housing? Now, if you know what HUD housing is, government, you know, homes, and it's usually not in the best areas. And I was like, no. And I'm like, okay. All right. So I call HUD housing. This is so, God's bringing me low. Like, I didn't think I could go any lower. Okay.
Yeah.
HUD housing. Here we go. Well, there's a 6-month wait, ma'am, for HUD housing. I was like, oh my God, I don't even have that option.
Yeah.
I don't even have that. Okay. So I'm done. And I remember feeling like I'm done. And I texted my mom and my dad and I said, that's not an option either. I'll figure it out. And I put my phone to the side and I laid on my bed and I sobbed and I was very real with God. And I was like, you know what, Lord, you may love me, but you just don't like me because it's not, nothing's working out for me.
Yeah.
And I remember just being like my baby moment, just like, you don't love me. You don't like me. What else can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And right then my phone's lighting up and I was like, ugh. It's probably my mother got another awful suggestion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, John, my dad, wants to talk to you. And I thought, oh, I don't want another suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I said, no, I'm okay, Mom. And she says, no, call him. So I called him and he said, now you understand my dad's an atheist, not a Christian, totally not a believer. And this always brings me to tears. But he said, I've watched you, you know, go through everything for the last year and never ask for anything. Mm-hmm. And you've done everything you can. And now it's my turn. And he said, tomorrow we're going to get you a house. And so they bought me a home like the next day.
Mm.
And I sometimes hate to share that story because I know that not everybody, but I can't express enough that as much as that was from my parents, that was from God.
Yeah.
Because this is the parents that they don't help. It's just the way I grew up. You get things, you do it yourself. Mm-hmm. And so for them, like, I believe that the Lord was all in their heart on that. And so, yeah. So that is an extremely tangible way that God showed up. And it was a miracle. It was a complete miracle. And I ended up buying a home in the same neighborhood that I would meet my now husband.
Wow.
He's less than a mile away. And he would say he would run by my house all the time and didn't know who I was, obviously. Uh-huh. But so it's sort of all very funny in retrospect.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
So I don't know. Sometimes it's just hard for me to share about, that's a humongous blessing. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want, because one of the gals I had shared that story with when she was going through a similar stuff, she was like, well, I don't have any parents that are going to buy me a house. And I was like, I didn't either. I didn't have parents that were going to buy me a house either.
Right, right.
And, you know, I have since paid them back for that house. But, you know,
and it was, but I think too, like in just talking about redemption, you know, that everything is different for all of our stories and that God redeems it in such a way that you know it's him. And so for God to move on your dad's heart and part of redemption too, and women out there, I hope you're listening, is that you have to open up your arms and be willing to receive his love and cooperate with him, you know, because we can be prideful too and say, no, you don't have to help me or whatever.
Right.
But But and the point is not to like compare to your redemption, but to just say God is a redeemer, and mine will look different.
Yes,
but he will redeem.
Yes,
and that he moved on your dad's heart to do that is beautiful, especially because. Mm-hmm. Mom wanted you in California.
Yes, that's right. Yes, she was not thrilled about it. But, you know, and then my dad became a Christian a year later. So it all kind of had it. God had a plan in it all.
Yeah.
And I really do caution people to compare each other's stories because, listen, my story, you know, now I loved my house. I don't live in that house anymore, but I loved that house. But that house probably to somebody in Manhattan would think it's scraps, right? Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't even want that blessing. And then you got someone who has very, very little and would be like, oh my gosh, you know, she got that. So I think we all just, God knew that I had exhausted everything I could do. Yeah. I wasn't deserving of that home. I didn't, in a sense, earn it. I didn't save for it. My house was being foreclosed on. I mean, like, it had to be from God.
Yeah.
It just was. And I, you know, I just say, take it up with him then. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. It's not, it wasn't any kind of my doing.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But that, and he'll do the same for
absolutely
others.
Yeah.
And so, so your husband, I know that you went through counseling and like you said, you worked on and recognized your part in it.
Mm-hmm.
Did your husband respond at all to that?
My ex-husband?
Yeah, for a little bit, or what? Or did he just finally say, you know, I'm done? How did all that?
He did. He went once. He went once to the counselor, and he didn't tell the counselor anything he had done. He went by himself.
Right.
And then I was asked to come like halfway through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the counselor kind of looked at us, not understanding, well, how did you leave this big portion out here? And then he left. Mm-hmm. It was just odd. Can't explain. Yeah. It was just an odd, I think he just didn't want to look at it.
Yeah.
And so, and never has since. Mm-hmm. So, not really.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's unfortunate. And, you know, I had a girlfriend who her husband was very humble. And after she had found out about his affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being very jealous. Like, wow, like, you got an amazing man here. He is so humble to, like, tell you, I got a problem. And I remember, like, kind of going to God with it, going, gosh, I really wish my husband would have, that would have been a wonderful, again, what a story, God, for your glory, this wonderful reconciliation.
Yeah.
But it wasn't my story. That was
It
hers.
Wasn't your story.
Yeah.
And that, and it's kind of like this repeated theme in our conversation that, you know, that we can, and we all do it. I do it. You compare yourself on social media or whatever, but you'll kind of write out what the story of redemption should be because you listen to this story or whatever, but that God has a unique one for you and it's for his glory. And I look at your family now and the beautiful work that God is doing through that and yeah, she's tearing up. Like, let's just cry because it is so beautiful. So I'm telling you, like,
so, we're a big family, and so this in snapshots, especially on Facebook is any picture. Even as I scroll through all my pictures on my phone, they are without sound. So that's what makes them even more beautiful. That's terrible. But my household is so loud. I mean, we have four boys and a two-year-old little squawking girl right now. She doesn't know how to talk, and so she's just squawks. And so it's loud. I'm just in that season of like, oh, it's so loud. But yes, it is a blessing for sure.
Yeah.
Course.
Yeah.
Never.
But that God brought that. And that, you know, I mean, and I just thought about this, and of course I'm not God or anything like that, but that that the story has to be unique because God is going to reveal his glory,
yeah.
you know, and it's not about us, and that, mm-hmm. you know, that I know that, you know, through your faith, you've touched your husband's life and, mm-hmm. you know, and so mm-hmm. many through that and had, mm-hmm. you know, had we written our own stories,
yeah.
you know, that his will,
yeah.
Just, you know, wouldn't have been accomplished,
mm-hmm.
but that he is bringing mm-hmm. beauty out of these ashes.
Yeah.
Now, something you said once to me, and I want to talk about forgiveness and talk about the beauty or the ashes. And
mm-hmm.
I tell people this all the time. If there's a topic I just feel very inadequate to talk about, it's forgiveness, because, you know, I feel like that I, you know, and I think we all struggle with it. And then you got to struggle with it uh-huh. again, because uh-huh. we live in a broken world. Uh-huh. And so, but you said one thing to me one time that God spoke to you, and it was so powerful. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking
yes.
about? Okay. So I want you to share that, because mm-hmm. it's such a good message. And I'm telling you, anytime I walk through something,
mm-hmm.
I think, okay, I've got a choice here. Mm-hmm. And I remember these mm-hmm. words that you mm. shared to me. Yeah, truly. So
cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's good. So yes, I remember it probably took me a good few months to kind of come out of a fog after, you know, learning about, my husband's affairs. But I think it's very natural when someone wrongs you, you want justice. You want to see them, yeah. you know, pay for it. And you also want validation that, look, see, I told you this is what who he yeah. is, or this is yeah. what they've done to me, or, you know, now I kind of want to see them kind of suffer a little bit. And that's just our own, you know, sin, really, because
yeah.
we don't have, you know, or we could be all more like Jesus on the mm-hmm. cross saying, you know, mm-hmm. having compassion on even the sinner. But in that season of my life, I remember I was, I had these blessings, kind of, I could see them coming up. You know, I was going to get to get back into school and things were happening. And then over there to the side, I kind of get distracted by like, oh, you know, what is he up to? And mm-hmm. is he flourishing in all of this? You know, is he
yeah.
happy? Uh-huh. Is he, you know, is God going to take care of this? Because, mm-hmm. you know, that's really unfair.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I felt like the Lord and the Holy Spirit whispered to me in my spirit, you know, Rob, I'm going to say my name again. You can, I'm going to give you eyes, but you to either see the blessings in your life or the bitterness, the justice. I wanted justice, but you don't get to have them both because.
Wait, you've got to yeah. say that one more time. Literally, I mean, I literally repeat this to myself. You have a choice, Aileen. So it is.
Yes, yeah,
so
you either have eyes to see the blessings I have for you, or you can have eyes to, you know, look for justice, or look for, you know, because you mm-hmm. have eyes of bitterness, really. You don't get them both. And really, because I had to have faith that God would take care of the justice, that God would, because honestly, you can't look at both. And
yeah.
I would be lying to your face if I didn't tell you that I look back. It was like Sodom and Gomorrah. I look
sure.
back. I wanted to see
yeah.
the,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Let me see
yes.
the miserable
yeah,
God.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
But really, that did not. He didn't ever look miserable, frankly. He didn't,
yeah. Yeah.
which only made me more upset.
Yeah.
And so God's like, I got this for you.
Just
yes. keep looking
yes.
over here. And really, if I have a bird's eye view, anybody have a bird's eye view of my life, they could clearly see the blessings God had for me
yeah.
and how my ex, nothing good has come.
Yeah.
Nothing
yeah.
good has come for him. And
yeah.
that's sad. That is sad because
yeah.
God doesn't want that for him either. God would love for him to turn toward him,
yeah.
get right with him, and have
Has he walked away from his thing?
I have no idea.
Right.
I mean,
right.
you would. It's easy to say yes.
Yeah.
I can speak for him, but
mm-hmm.
I would. I could see him probably going to church here and there, but
mm-hmm.
I don't. I don't know. So,
right, right.
but his walk is certainly not one with conviction.
It's not as strong. Yeah.
No
yeah.
conviction. And,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. So that is like and I think that that is something I still have to do. There's no, and I, one thing, even before this, you had invited me to this podcast, I had told my now husband, I feel sort of foolish doing this because I am absolutely not a graduate of any kind of program or, you know, graduate of trials. And like, I think it certainly gave me muscles to be able to go through another trial if I had to, or, but I still struggle. I mean, I still have,
what are some of your challenges? And I'm glad that you brought that out, because I think too, like with redemption, we'll think, and then I'll never struggle again.
Yeah, no.
And I will never have any challenges about my past or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate you sharing that. Yeah. And I think that's so important because, you know, praise God for the constant struggle that keeps us leaning on Him and this beautiful intertwining relationship where we keep walking through our own healing. And one day in glory, that's when I'll shed all this stuff. But for now, it's that walk of faith that keeps me leaning on my Savior, right?
Right.
And I don't have to be perfect. And by being vulnerable and authentic and saying, this happened and God's redeemed it, but here's where I still face challenges, then to me, when I expose my humanity, it points others to God's divinity, you know? And so, what are some...
In my life, my ex is still very, it's just challenging. It's challenging because, he's probably not content in his own walk, which I can only imagine. If you don't have the Lord, you're going to always sway here and there. But I don't think that he is a vindictive person. I don't. I just think that he is, everything is emotional for him. So all his actions are spontaneous. And so, for instance, my latest is that my kids are now they're 12 and 10. And my ex-husband has moved back into town. And so the latest thing is that he is starting to have a dialogue about telling them that they one day could come live with him. Well, there is no deeper wrench in my heart than the idea of my children, you know, going to live with their father. Like, that is just like, ugh. Like, it drives a dagger into me. So how do I navigate that? I mean, there's the natural side of me, the flesh that wants to just scream and say, how dare you? How dare you? You know, you come back in and then want them. But that is not, I'm not called to be like that either. So I have lots of conversations with my now husband, but I have to go to God with it. I have to, and I was saying to you before, I feel like my life's word, if there was such a thing, is surrender. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Everything I love, surrender. And go to God and be like, okay, like, you know, like, that's like the last nail in the coffin for me is my children. Like, and so I have to go to God and be like, all right, the worst that could happen is for some crazy turn of events. What if he did get them? I mean, that sounds completely bogus. Like, how could it ever happen? I don't know. I don't know. But if that was, would I survive, you know? Could God bring me through? Would I still feel loved? Would I still have, you know? And yes, I would. And so that is something I have to lay down daily these days, because I feel like it's like this looming, like I never know if it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And so it's like the stress. At the same time, I have wonderful blessings that I need to focus on. I have a two-year-old baby girl that I've wanted my whole, you know, four boys. I've got my girl who is smiling and loving and happy and all.
And she and is what I, the cutest.
Thank you.
And,
and what a, how horrible if I don't live in the moment for all of the blessings. And this is something I thought of. I try to get on the... I try to run my gym regularly. And when the hurricane was happening here, couldn't leave, so we were home with all the five kids, and we didn't know if the hurricane was going to obviously hit our area or not. And we have a treadmill in the garage, and I thought I could go on that treadmill. I don't want to go on the treadmill. I would rather run outside, but I don't have the option around. It's a hurricane wind. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it's kind of an analogy of my life. Like, okay, like you have this looming, maybe hurricane that could be coming, you know, with my ex, and never know if it's going to actually hit or not. You have to be discerning. Can't just go running outside and get hit by a tree limb. You got to be discerning. I can't just go pretending like it doesn't exist.
Right.
At the same time, I need to keep living. I have to keep living. And like this treadmill, I have to get on it and keep running.
Right.
Because it's there.
Right.
And I got to keep running on our, you know, in life too. Mm-hmm. So, and let me tell you, the hurricane could have come just like this. There could be something that happens. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I have to, again, cleave to God and just go, okay, Lord, I remember a very wise counselor told me that everything that we go through in life is to go through God's hands first. So He is sovereign. He's allowing. Mm-hmm. And that's hard sometimes because we don't like that. Mm-hmm. But I have to trust.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. That surrender piece. Surrender
is my word.
Yeah. So, and I love the analogy that you just gave about, you know, that hurricane looming and, you know, but just to remember that when you're facing, you know, all of the things that surround the pain of adultery, because it is a sin that just infects and, you know, just affects so many people, children and the wives and all these sorts of things, but that God's got it and that He's there and that He will walk you through and help you to navigate, you know, like you're saying.
Yes.
And the key is to that cling to Him and to listen to Him and, you know, and to just embrace His wisdom as you're walking through. So,
and it's unfortunately, I don't know if it's always been this way. I don't know. But it seems so common now. You know, if I hear another story, you know, another woman, I hear so regularly women being, you know, facing similar, you know, circumstances with their ex, or I mean, with their husbands. And, you know, I remember going to my girlfriend who had just gone through it right after I found out. And she gave me great advice, just practical advice, because I said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What am I supposed to do? And she says, you don't need a plan right now, because we are planners. I think sometimes as women, we want to know from A to Z how it's all going to unfold. And I got to have a plan because people are going to ask me, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to get real comfortable with, I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's just little baby steps. You know, you take it day by day, because that's all you can do. And just get real tight with God.
Yeah.
Like all throughout the day, the day, in your mundane work at home, all the way to whatever, just keep that dialogue going and you won't be like a wave, you know, it won't be as devastating. Way back when I thought my marriage was perfect, which no marriage is, but when I remember thinking that, I remember a woman coming to me and telling me about her husband having an affair. And we laugh about it now because she says, I remember telling you that and you were looking at me like a deer in headlights. Like, like, because I think that's in a lot of women to have that fear. Oh my gosh, it could happen to me.
Yeah.
It could. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not.
No.
God has, you know, our first love is supposed to be God, and nothing can take that away. And yes, we are designed to love and love hard and with our spouses, but it isn't the end of the world. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just different. It's just going to change. Yeah. And if you, as long as you cleave again to Him, He will make a way. He will.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is absolutely a promise.
Yeah.
He will not just forget you.
Yeah. That's a beautiful message of hope to bring and to women that are listening, that, you know, that it does may seem that way, but it's not. And that you'll get through it. And I love what you said too about the one step at a time and just staying close to Jesus and then just take the next step and don't worry about the plan because God has that because he's got you. So that's a beautiful thing because I think that we can get, you know, and did you read, sometimes I think when we read books about it, you know, it's like we're trying to figure it all out and do it. And Jesus says, you know what, just follow me. And not like you're sticking your head in the sand.
Right.
But that you're just taking the next step. And that just brings simplicity and a weight off of your shoulders, you know.
And I think we just, none of us can possibly believe that he loves us that much. That God loves us that much. But he does. He is here at all times. Everything we need, he has. And I have to tell you that right before I found out about my husband's affairs, it was actually like the day before, I had had a dream. And I'm a dreamer. Like I dream. And I had had a dream, a weird dream, that I was getting married. And I couldn't see the man's face, but it wasn't my husband. And I was so happy in my dream. This is so weird. I'm so happy in my dream. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. What's going on? And I remember in my dream, I looked over in the corner and I saw my ex-husband. And he was in like all this darkness and there was all this stuff going around. And I thought, oh, God, I'm sorry for you, but I'm so happy over here. And I remember waking up feeling guilty. Like, oh, my God, I just had a dream that I was remarrying somebody else. And I was so happy in my dream. Well, I found out less than 24 hours later about the affairs. But the weird part was, is earlier that day, I'd called two different people and said, isn't that weird? I had this dream I was marrying somebody else. And I mean, I was like in love. It was so weird. And they said, well, maybe it was your bridegroom. And I said, what does that mean? And they said, like Jesus. I'm like, marry Jesus? No, I don't like that. No, that's not my interpretation of this dream. Bridegroom. And I just was kind of like turned off by the whole thing. Then I find out about my husband, okay, and fast forward maybe a week. I don't think it was even that long. Does my good friend say, hey, I have the most beautiful Bible study for you, devotional, and I'm going to send it to you. And I went, okay. It's like, wasn't in the mood really for it. And what is it called? The bridegroom.
You belong to the bridegroom.
And I was like, oh, that's weird. Okay. Well, now I got to see what this is about. So God knew, and he's like, I think God has a sense of humor too. You know, it's just like, okay. And then that for sure, and I should have given credit from the beginning, but sometimes you just like thinking about this whole, how everything,
I don't want unfolded. Any credit. Don't put that on me.
I know, but totally really it was, it again, but that I also was going through that. So God had me get involved in an online Bible study. It's kind of funny now. I look back and I go, wow, okay. Again, I didn't search for it. It just sort of landed in my lap. Certain things God gave me the muscles to search for, to do, to do myself. And there were other things he was like, okay, this one you just need to be given, you know?
Right,
and
right.
That Bible study was fantastic. I tell people all the time about that Bible study.
Thank you.
It kept putting me back into the Word.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which a Bible study should, but a lot of them don't. A lot of them, it's just a lot of storytelling or whatever. And that one was, you know, do your homework and get to know the character of God.
Right.
And
right.
That was what was, that was truly transforming. It really was. I just kind of forgot about it until now.
and the heart of Treasure Ministries is that, you know, when you look at the way that Jesus interacted with women and when he spoke to them, the words he spoke, it changed their life. It changed how they could see God and how they could see themselves. And they began to live differently because they saw differently. And so that's what we want. That's what we want, are women to connect with Jesus through the Word. And from that, you know, have that same experience.
Right.
And you can live off of that. It's like as long as God told me this morning that, you know, then it's okay, you know. And then tomorrow I need another word, you know, that kind of thing. But I appreciate you sharing that so much. We we mail our study out to a lot of women who are widowed or who have walked through adultery, things like that, because that is such a neat aspect of, you know, looking at Jesus that way, that he is that soulmate that we've always been looking for,
right?
You know, and so that's great. I'm honored that it blessed you like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, this has been beautiful. Are there any parting words if you were, you know, if a woman who's listening today is walking through the same thing, what would you tell her?
I would take a deep breath like I just did and just take it 1 hour at a time. If you just found out or it's just been recent, I would not get a bunch of advice from everybody. I wouldn't share it with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I would keep it pretty close to home and and really go to God over and over and over again with it. Anything that you first that need to kind of vent to somebody, it will never be fulfilling as it is when you go to God, because they might give you a good laugh or a good whatever. And there's times for that, but really what you really need is just to be quiet before the Lord. And that's so hard to do. But if you could just do that first, and then I say, if God gives you the opportunity to laugh about it, you know, later, go ahead.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing like a good friend who can like say all the stuff we need to say or laugh about things. But definitely I that was something, again, I don't take credit for how I handled it. I felt like I honestly was walking through a fog.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know how it happened the way it happened, but I'm grateful nonetheless that nothing was on Facebook. Nothing. I didn't share any of that.
Yeah.
I just didn't. And I didn't share. And when people, there's a lot of nosy people and they will want to know and they'll want the juicy details. Don't share it with them, because it's really not, it's fleeting. And then you feel like you've just given something of yourself to them, and it doesn't feel good. I can tell you now, it just doesn't. So try to just keep your conversation sort of short and simple, and get real comfortable with saying, like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to see how things
go. That's great. That's great. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And you had mentioned something else earlier. You said, I called two friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what you just said about using discernment with who you share with.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that you just said is you share with God first.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not that desire to vent is wrong, because you don't want to stuff it. You just want to be wise. And the first one is God.
Yeah.
But then you chose two friends. And in these friends, what made you choose them?
Well, I knew they had gone through similar things, but number one, I knew they were Christians.
Mm-hmm.
That was number one. I certainly would never have gone to someone who was not a Christian and told any of it to, because I wouldn't have got any wisdom or any direction that I could have used. The one I knew had gone through it in a very difficult situation herself. So I knew she had already kind of survived it in a sense. And my other was a biblical counselor. So I was blessed that I had those people already around me.
Yeah.
And God knew that I would have this kind of, I'm just so grateful for that. I had a Bible study in my home even up until that point. I mean, I was walking the walk, girls, but things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, I had all those women that
were around.
But I didn't need a bunch of women to, I didn't, and it wasn't like that for me. I needed someone I could be real with, and then someone that could certainly hold me accountable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And remind me, just like a good reminder of staying, you know, on the straight and narrow through all too.
Yeah. So using that discernment with who you tell it to, but finding that community was wise. Mm-hmm. And I just want to end in saying, and I feel like a common theme too with our conversation has been about that God is a redeemer. We can stand on that and to let go of the plan, how it's going to be redeemed.
Yeah.
And to don't compare and just take the next step because uh-huh. God is such a redeemer. I mean, that's like, it's all over the Bible everywhere. And and then lastly, I've got to remind them of this because I need, you know, is that you can either have your eyes for bitterness mm-hmm. or the blessing, mm-hmm. but you can't have both. So, so we might as well pour into our energy into that. So, thank you so much for sharing your time and your story. Yeah. And it's beautiful. And I admire your bravery as a woman to stand with your faith and mm-hmm. and to continue to walk in forgiveness. And you've shared some really awesome wisdom here.
I hope I've helped somebody.
Yeah. Good. I know you have.
Good.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining in, everybody. And if you are one that is walking through something like this, we would love to pray for you. So please reach out to us and you can send an email to info@treasuredministries.com or message us on Facebook or Instagram. And we would love to pray for you. But I hope that through this, that you see threads of story in your own life. And please pass this along to any woman that you know that might be walking through the same situation. Thanks so much for joining in, everybody. Bye-bye.